to my role as a leader is to get something if I can do it, and be beat to death if I can do it. If I'm going to be beat to death, I might as well get something for it.
Marion was one of us, marching, picketing, protesting, freedom riding, and risk-taking young man who had that fire.
And the day has come when we decide our own past and our own future for us.
That is the voice of Marion Barry, taken from a new documentary being made about his life. And we are joined now by E. Ethelbert Miller. Ethelbert Miller, of course, a literary activist and poet, chair of the Institute for Policy Studies Board of Directors, director of the African American Resource Center at Howard University, one of our major poets in America and the world, and former chair of the Humanities Council in D.C. Ethelbert, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Oh, good. Thanks for inviting me, Mar.
And folks, you can join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at talk@steinershow.org. You can log on to our Facebook pages. Tweet me at Mark Steiner, 410-319-8888. And I was, of course, many of us were shocked, at least I was, to see his sudden death at 78 over the weekend. But it got me to reflect on him. Then I saw your email come through about the first piece you wrote, what came to you on the death of Marion Barry. Do you want to read that? Would you just like to start?
I'll read that, and I'll first also talk about, you know, what you just did. You were mentioning all the things happening this day in terms of, you know, African-American history. And I think if you look back at the last few months, we've lost a number of major black and cultural figures, from Amiri Baraka, Vincent Harding, you know, Maya Angelou, you know, now Marion Barry. Just a lot of people, you know, have vanished the last few months. And I think that when this year is looked at in review, we'll realize that we've come to a period of maybe a period ending, but also an opportunity to sort of renew our commitment to some of their ideas. And this is what I wrote about Marion Barry. At times, he was bigger than life. We will have to acknowledge his importance when we study the civil rights movement and the history of Washington, D.C. What we will remember about this man will depend on who we are. He was not mayor for life, but simply a man who made mistakes but still tried to do some good for his fellow human beings. Marion Barry loved people. At times, being mayor of a city or sitting on a city council can be as difficult as being president. May we honor this man for what he did, for his vision during dark times. May we get over all the BS, the drugs, the women that were not his wives. May we say at this time of seasons changing once again that Marion Barry was our spring, a man who tried to bring a little warmth to so many left out in the cold. May he rest in peace, and may we remember what we still need to do.
I many of the people you sent that to love the piece you wrote about him, because I think you hit the complexity of the man and the time with the words of a poet. And I think he was a – Marion Barry clearly was vilified by a lot of the establishment, the establishment press. He was the brunt of jokes because of his arrest and more. And people – and many in the media kind of regarded him and acted as if he were a buffoon. Mm-hmm. And he was anything but a man who was on his way to get his Ph.D. in organic chemistry when he decided to devote his life to SNCC and become chairman of a student nonviolent coordinating committee. I mean, people don't really understand, I think.
Well, I think we have to look at what he does represent. You know, at the peak, he represented black power. You know, he represented black people obtaining power. That's a very frightening thing. And I think what happened, people were always waiting for him to fail. You know, we're always looking for that Achilles heel, you know. And so when they finally caught up with him, you know, then it was an opportunity to really drag him through the mud, so to speak. But when you have individuals seeking power, see black people in this country, that changes the dynamic, okay? And so what happens, it sort of shifts things. So Marion Barry is part of that empowerment that we saw in many urban areas, you know, black men coming into control of cities, whether it's Stokes in Cleveland, you know, Gary, Indiana with Hatcher, you know, Gibson in Newark. That began to represent a change in power, especially in terms of urban economics, because now these black men were over the redevelopment of these new areas. And you might remember Barry was saying, okay, if there's going to be redevelopment, there's going to have to be black people in charge of some of these businesses.
Right.
And that can be a thing where all of a sudden you're changing the landscape, you're changing the rules. And if you make a mistake, somebody's going to get you.
And people, in his time there, I mean, I remember when he came to D.C. in 1965, and I was just moving down towards D.C. at the same time, and he was starting the Free D.C. movement. I became a leader of that, and Pride, Inc., and I was working at the Washington Free Press. And and their interactions were there a great deal because the movement he was leading, the Free DC movement.
And Pride, you know.
And Pride.
What Pride was doing, Pride was giving black men jobs, black men who may have, you know, come out of jail, you know, giving jobs to people who are in need of jobs. You know, that's still on the agenda, okay? And keep in mind, this is Barry, you know, laying that foundation for his political activity. But, you know, it shouldn't come as any surprise when we look at what Barry was doing prior to coming to D.C., you know, what he was doing in Nashville, what he was doing in Mississippi. Okay, organizing people in terms of empowerment, you know, seeking the political kingdom, you know. So this is not unusual for him to run for political office. If you're going to put your life on the line to get people to vote at one point in your life, hopefully later on you'll understand the importance of running for office.
And he did, and I mean he right. does it deserve to stand beside as he did Diane Nash and Bob Moses and John Lewis and the rest. Who were leaders of SNCC and stood up and came to D.C. And I remember he organized this boycott of the transportation system when they were going to raise the rates. And he that threw him off the leadership of the D.C. scene because he showed his power as an organizer.
Sure. And then, you know, moving into, you know, on the school board, running for city council.
Right.
These are things in which today, you know, we hope that when people seek political power, that they come up through this sort of struggle, that they understand what the community needs on various different levels. And that's where you get your seasoning, your training. That's where you build your network. And when we look at what Barry was able to do, he put together a political machine. You know, same way we talk about Mayor Daley in Chicago in the old days. You know, Barry built a machine. So much a machine that when Sharon Pratt Kelly got in, she couldn't just sweep it out, you know? I mean there's a lot of people who owe their jobs and livelihood to Marion Barry. You see? You know, that's the thing that you have to look at. When this guy came to power, you know, a lot of the people that were part of his network came into it also. And that's why when you look at the tragedy of Marion Barry, to me, I've always said this, it's not the tragedy of one individual, okay? I can look at the failure of the black middle class in Washington, D.C. Black people who came in, and the first thing they did was buy a new car or a house. They wasn't concerned about providing services for people in need. And as they became more middle class and more stable, their values changed, okay? I mentioned the other piece I wrote. You know, when you look at Marion Barry using cocaine, go back and look at how cocaine across the board hit the black middle class. I don't care what the profession was. I don't care if you were playing sports, you were making.
Oh, no question.
And
it wasn't just the black middle class. That putting stuff up your nose hit middle class people across America.
No, but I want to focus on the black.
No, I understand. I'm just saying that for
right. Exactly. Right. You know. But and see what happens. That's the story. When you look at it, it's an individual tragedy. But I can go down a list of names of people who struggle with addiction. You see, and what happens on the other level? That is what makes us very human. You know. That makes us very human. And for some people, you know, what happened, we want to keep Marion Barry down and see him one way. Okay? Like I said, if we were Shakespeare, oh, man, we got to play. people be clapping at the last scene and crying when they were out of a Folger Shakespeare library. Maybe. I found that Marion Barry was just as good as Macbeth.
That would be an interesting thing to do. I like this idea.
Julius Caesar, look how he was betrayed.
Right. So, before we have to run for our next segment, just very quickly, close out the statement you made at the end of your piece, which is how we consider him for the future.
Well, if you're talking about, for me, I think he represents a spring, you know? And what happens, when you see me writing this, I'm looking at how Ozzie Davis eulogized Malcolm X. And he realized that what we're putting in the earth is not a man, but a seed. And what you will see will come flowering years from now. When I look at Marion Barry's death right now, it makes a statement in terms of what is Muriel Bowser going to do? She has to do things with the Reeves Building. She has to do a lot of things with Ward 8. A lot of things that's going to be tied in with Marion Barry's legacy. And maybe what happens, maybe she will become a great mayor. Why? Because Marion Barry laid the foundation for her. Okay? That's what we look at. That's how one life affects another. That's how one great man leaves his shadow over a trail of history.
Ethelbert, it's always a pleasure and honor to have you on the air with us. E. Ethelbert Miller, who is one of our great poets and activists and thinkers in America. E., thank you so much.
Okay, Mark. Take care.
Take care.
All right.
That was our remembrance for Marion Barry. here on this, the Ending Our Day in History. We're going out with Day in History on this day, November 24th. We're hearing Shake, Rattle, and Roll by Big Joe Turner, also known as the Boss of the Blues, passed away on this day in 1985 at the age of 74. We'll be right back. Stay with us as we look at immigration and more.
Well, Lord, I work as fast as my money goes. I said, shake.